Okay.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem to everyone from close and far. We'll continue our little Seder, little Chabura here, learning Harry Kedem, some Geshmak Alumdus from the Rav on Yane Chanukah. So just before we start today's new piece, I just want to point out, since I see Jason has the pages from last time, so we'll just point out very briefly that the Rav in the first Shtickle here in the Harei Kedem is going through the language of the Rambam. In the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, he points out that the Rambam, he describes like the historical background of Chanukah. And one of the points that is a little bit interesting in the Rambam, we're not yet on those sheets yet, the Rambam says that the Nes of Chanukah, what he describes, was that Midu Melech Min HaKoyanim. They reestablished the kingdom, and they appointed a king from the Kohanim. The Chashmonoim were Kohanim, right? They made Matis Yov and Yochan Kohen Gadol. So the Rav points out that there seems to be a machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban. We're not yet on the sheet, Jimmy. We'll get to the sheet in a second. But there's machloikus in the Rambam and the Ramban because there's a famous Ramban in Parashas Vayechi that the Ramban comments on the pasuk that Yaakov Avinu says to Yehuda. He says to Yehuda in the bracha, he gives Yehuda, "Lo yasur shevet Yehuda." So it says in this pasuk, that the leadership is not allowed to leave the tribe of Yehuda. You're supposed to only appoint a king from Sheva Yehuda. If you appoint a king from not from Sheva Yehuda, according to Ramban, you violate an iser. And the Ramban says in Chumash that that's why the Chashmonaim, the Gemara says, God, I think it's maybe Gemara Gittin, I don't remember exactly. Maybe Baba Basra. Gemara says that anyone comes who says nowadays, it's talking about the days of Gemara, that they are descendants of the Chashmonaim, you should know that he's a slave. Because really, Hurdus killed all the Chashmonaim, and he was a slave, and someone is like a descendant of his. He's really a slave. So the Chashmonaim got a very severe punishment. They were the kings, but then they were all wiped out. The whole family of the Chashmonaim over the years, they were wiped out. So the Ramban says in Chumash, Parashas Vayechi, that this was a punishment for violating an avera of appointing, of taking the mantle of being kings of Bnei Yisrael. It's only supposed to be someone from Sheva Yehuda. So the Rav pointed out that it seems from the Ramban that the Ramban disagrees, because the Ramban says, he's describing the Nes of Chanukah, and he says they made a king from the Kohanim. So apparently, according to the Ramban, it was not a violation, he suggests, of this Isser. So what's the pshat? Why is it not a violation of the Isser? So he gives two answers. Perhaps one, he says, is because maybe they only appointed them as kings temporarily, and maybe the Isser is only to appoint a king who's not from Sheva Yehuda permanently. Second answer he gives, or like an added explanation, he says that we know the Greeks wanted to defile, they did defile the Beis HaMikdash, they made it Tomei. So by appointing Dafka king from the Kohanim, it's like an added dimension to restoring the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Kohanim, they have an added responsibility to guard over the Mikdash. So if they're going to be the kings, they're going to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is tar, and that's why the Rambam says there was actually a Milo that they made the Kohanim kings. But that's one important point that the Rav points out. Another very famous point is that the Rambam says that the kingdom came back to the Jewish people for more than 200 years. That's apparently part of the Nes. Part of the Nes of Chanukah is that they regained Jewish sovereignty. Okay, but now let's see today's shtickle that I wanted to read with you guys together. It's Simon Kuf Samich. It's titled B'Yisoy Chiyuv Pirsum HaNeis V'Ner Chanukah, regarding the fundamental nature of the obligation to publicize the miracle in terms of lighting Chanukah candles. So the Rav starts off, again, this is not the Rav's own writing, but this is the writing of one of his great Talmidim, Rav Michal Shurkin Shlita, who learned in Rav Salavitcher Shir for over 20 years. And he's a Rebbe in Yeshivas Toras Moshe for the last maybe 30 years. One of the great Talmidim of the Rav published two volumes on the Rav's Chidushin on Yom Tovim called Harare Keder. It's an excellent sefer, actually three volumes. There's also Shabbos, Chelek Gimel. Shmak Mesvar. So the Rav starts like this. Kosav Rambam Beridah Alochi Yud Beis, a very famous Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam says the following statement: Afilu ein lo mayoicha alo min atzdoko. That even if a person is so poor that he doesn't have what to eat, and he's supported by charity, shoyel emoicha ksusoy v'lekeach shemen uneirus umadlik, he should borrow money or sell the shirt off his back and buy oil and candles and light the menorah. Very famous halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says, and if I'm not mistaken, I think the Magid Mishnah comments that this is not found in the Gemara. The Rambam basically made it up. The Magid Mishnah tries to derive. We'll see the Rav also is going to address what's the source of this halacha. The Rambam comes up with a fascinating chiddush. And the Rambam says if a person is very, very poor, he doesn't have any food to eat, Mamish, she's very, very impoverished. So what's the halacha? Does he need to light Hanukkah candles or not? Says the Rambam, yes, he has to borrow money to light Hanukkah candles. And if he's embarrassed or there's no one to borrow from, he should even sell the shirt on his back and buy oil and candles to light. Now just as a tangent, before we read the Rav, what does it mean that he's chayav to buy oil and candles to light? So, it could be Rav here also that mentions it, but there's a machlokes, it's quoted, I think, by Rav Zsolti. Does he have to just get enough oil and candles to light one each night? And be yom tzei, the basic mitzvah of nerish u'besai? So let's say that would be maybe, you know, $5 he needs to buy a box of candles, enough for one a night, or does he need to sell the shirt off his back even for Mahajan. So says the Harika, the Hainu who's seen the Rambam, the Afkuch, all mitz sharm satoyrok, excuse me, Kaim Alon, the Mavazbis, Ali Vazbis, Yosem Chaimish, we have a very famous halacha. And when it comes to other mitzvahs, how much money does someone require to spend on a mitzvah of his assets? Person wants to do a mitzvah, and he has to spend from his assets. Up to how much? So the halacha is, according to Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simitov, Reish, and Vav, that when it comes to a mitzvah say, a person is obligated to spend only up to 20% of his assets to fulfill a mitzvah say. Al yivazbez yoyse v'chaymish. A person shouldn't spend, mevazbez means to spend, someone who's spending money on a mitzvah says he shouldn't spend more than a fifth, meaning more than 20% of your assets. So if you're very poor, let's say you have only, you know, $100 to your name. That's all you have, $100. You want to buy an esrig? So you can't spend more than $20 on an esrig. That's the halacha. You're not allowed to spend more. So it says, however, for Salvechik, we see this scenario in the Rambam seems to contradict that. Why? Because the Rambam says that if a guy is very poor, he has nothing to eat, he should sell the shirt off his back to buy candles. Now, if he's selling the shirt off his back and he has nothing to eat, so it's more than 20% of what he has. He's spending on the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. So why is he allowed to do that? It's against the halacha. You're not supposed to spend more than 20%. Apparently, says the Rav Mikol Makom, we see from here, but mitzvah sheyesh ben pesumei nisah, that when there's a mitzvah that involves publicizing a miracle, chayav ra'itzis kol ma'inoi, you're obligated to spend all of your money to fulfill a mitzvah that involves pesumei nisa, ukimayken gabe avikosis, and similarly we see this regarding the four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach night, kimavur b'psachim, reish perek gabe b'psachim, b'rash bam shom, like you see from the Mishnah and Psachim, because the Mishnah says in Ari Psachim that afilu oni shvi Yisrael lo yoichal ad sheyesef, even a poor person has to do a seva. And then it says, "V'lo yivchis loy ma'ar kaisa shal yayin." And the Rashbam says that he's supposed to borrow or sell his shirt in order to get 4 cups of wine. So again, we have the same question. What's pshat? You're supposed to sell or borrow your shirt for 4 cups of wine? Apparently, because it's pirsumei nisa. Ba'asher atam hazel mishum pirsumei nisa. K'mo yishin kosav ha-magid mishnah. Kan bilchus chanukah. The Magid Mishnah quotes that mishnah as the source of the Rambam. It says, where did the Rambam derive that a person is supposed to sell even his shirt, his last shirt, in order to get chanukah candles? He got it, says the Magid Mishnah. It's not the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't talk about that. Says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam learned it out from Arba Kosos. Just like by Arba Kosos, the Mishnah says a poor person is supposed to have 4 cups of wine. And the Rashbam there explains in the beginning of Arba Pesachim that it means, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even a poor person has to get 4 cups of wine. Says the Rashbam, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that even a poor person should sell the shirt on his back if he needs to. That's his only shirt. But that's his only recourse to get money. He should sell the shirt off his back and have money for 4 cups of wine. Why? Apparently, says the Magid Mishnah, you see that you're supposed to spend all your money that you have to fill the mitzvah for Pirsumei Nisa. So says the Magid Mishnah, so too when it comes to lighting chanukah candles,
wise,
which involves Pirsumei Nisa, so you have to sell the shirt off your back to get chanukah candles. Yes, Zach.
How is 4 cups Pirsumei
Nisa? Excellent question. Anyone want to answer Zach's question? How is drinking 4 cups of wine the night of the Seder a fulfillment of Pirsumei Nisa? The answer is yes.
We're drinking that in order to propose as the fact that we were taking out of a...
Okay, good. Good. We'll just make
it's not like
Hanukkah
candles where you put them
in
the window.
Sharper is that the mitzvah we mentioned last year at some point, I'm sure we learned it. Briskurah and Avakaisis. There's two dinim. In drinking avakais, the briskurah explains. There's one din to drink the cup, and that is to demonstrate freedom. It's to demonstrate freedom that tonight we're free. There's another din for Sumei Nisa that you're supposed to make 4 brachos on a cup. Each of the brachos, Kiddush, the Magid, the bracha of Magid, of Asher Goalonim, the bracha Samazim, and the bracha that we say on the 4th cup, Hallel, bracha Hallel, has to be recited on the cup. And Rav Soloveitchik explains, as well as the briskurah is also going apparently with this pshat, that drinking 4 cups of wine is part of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's part of telling the story. Part of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim is by A, drinking the cups and demonstrating freedom, and B, by reciting these brachos on the cup, which are telling the story over the cup of wine. Like you say Kiddush on a cup of wine, right? It's a din of Kiddush al kais. It's a kais shel bracha. So there's also halacha that the Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim should be recited on a cup of wine. In fact, mentioned in our shiur that we gave last year on the Haggadah, that Rav Soloveitchik said that his father was so machmir on this that if his cup of wine spilled, he had to go back and start the Haggadah from the beginning. Because you have to say the whole Haggadah on the cup of wine. But there's a fulfillment. The answer to your question is that by the Arba Kosos, how are they pursuing Nisa? Because they're a fulfillment of Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim publicizing the fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt, telling the story of how we left Egypt, Hashem took us out. That's Pirsumei Nisa. That's publicizing the miracle. So that's why the Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam derived this halacha from our crisis. It says now the Rav, but what do we see here? Still need to define it a little bit better. The Magid Mishnah just says, we have a proof that when you're involved in a mitzvah that is a fulfillment of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle that Hashem performed for us on behalf of the Jewish people, then money is not an object. Money is not a consideration. You got to spend whatever you have to fulfill the mitzvah. Even if it's your last shirt, you have to spend it, sell it to do the mitzvah. Why? Because it's Pirsumei Nisa. So what's the pshat? Why is Pirsumei Nisa an exception? Normally, when it comes to a mitzvah, like a mitzvah saseh,